It's about our daily bread. And, you know, a long time ago, as I began to read this here, and when I would come to that part and give us this day our daily bread, I always had felt and I'd studied that it was more than just food. The Lord wasn't talking just about food here. And to kind of bring out that idea, let's go to Exodus chapter 16. And I want to read a few verses there. The second book of the Bible, way back at the beginning, I'm going to show you something about daily bread. In Exodus chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading at verse, well, I'll tell you there when I get there. Exodus chapter 16, beginning at verse 4. And let me set the stage. God has got Moses. You know what faith is? Let me give you an example of faith. Here's Moses' mother and sister, and Pharaoh is killing all the firstborn sons. And they saw that little Moses was a good-looking, comely, wonderful-looking little fella, and they took a step of faith. And they took that little baby. And he wasn't even weaned yet. And they put him in a little boat, a little basket, and they put him out on the water. They did that by faith. They did that because they didn't want that little boy to be killed. And they did that in the Nile River. You have to understand, was known to have all kinds of things, big old crocodile, alligator type creatures and everything else. But by faith, they believed through prayer, and they took, and Miriam listened to her mother, and she got out there in the water, and she loosed that into that Nile River, and it flowed right to where? It flowed to Pharaoh's family, to the daughter. And they said, there's a basket here. And she was by the river. She just happened to be bathing out there with the company of those that took care of her. And when she saw that little baby, it touched her heart. And they said, this is a little Hebrew baby. And she took that baby and she raised it as her own. And Moses, a little Hebrew slave, was given the best education. And he excelled in Pharaoh's house. He was a mighty person of great understanding and power and the ability to get things done. And when he thought his life was over, at the age of 80 years old, for those of you, listen to me, I don't care how old you are, God's got a purpose for your life every day of your life. Every day. And he wants you to fulfill your purpose, not just preachers, not just the ministry, everybody. There are people that are outstanding. Every one of you have a gift. You've got gifts on your life that need to be brought forth even more. And you need to be able to use your gift. And God has got a purpose for your life that you may not have even understand it fully, but you may just feel it when you're alone by yourself, you know. I feel like I should be doing something. Everybody's life is important. And God doesn't create duds. God is just looking for people to get saved and to say, God, here I am. Use me. And that's what this is about tonight, that you understand I can feel in here the bad things spoken over just a handful of people, the bad breaks that just in this room right here, and how people get discouraged. But I want you to know God has brought you here, and our purpose, one of our purposes here, is to teach you how to connect with God's plan for your life. Right on the front of this pulpit, it's from Canada. I had it made many, many years ago. The scripture on here is Romans 8:28, discovering God's plan for your life. That's been up here for, I don't know how many years. You were probably a little one when I bought that. And this is what that verse says. And we know that all things, the good things, the bad things, the in-between things, all things work together for good to those who are the called according to God's purpose, God's plan for your life. There is not a person in this room that doesn't have a purpose. Uriah, you're special. I can feel it. There's a purpose for your life, a greater purpose than you even know. You're special. I don't care what anybody said. I don't care if you've ever, whatever, how life has dealt with you. God's got a special purpose for your life, and it's a good purpose. It's something good. It's not something bad. Amen, Sam? Man, oh, man. All right, then. And I remember asking just as a young man, Father, what is this about? Give us this day our daily bread. What is that? Well, it took some years, but he began to put this in my heart and my head. And this is for everybody in this room. I want you to understand something. God has daily bread for you every day of your life. And we're in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. We're going to read beginning from verse 4. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my ways, listen to me or not. And here's verse 5. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day of every week, the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much that they should gather on that day. And verse 6, and Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, At evening, then ye shall know that the Lord has brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You know, so many people go to churches and they're looking for something, and they're not even sure what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. And God's got something for everybody that comes through that door. And he's got something for you. Now, I want you to, and that bread, that was when God took all the people out of Egypt after 10 plagues and all kinds of problems. Many of you know that story. And he had them out there, and they began to complain. Oh, we had enough, at least we had enough food to eat. Have you brought us out here to die, Moses? And they just went on and on and on. But God caused manna. And if you wonder about the name of the manna center, that is a supernatural place of provision that God has put here through my family, through Kelly's current ministry, and far beyond, as long as there's a place here. Those of you that are involved or have watched, you have seen us feed and feed and feed. I've never seen so much food in my entire life. But that manna center, that was that manna, okay? Now, one more place I want to look there is, and I believe that's verse 31. And y'all follow with me. Exodus 16:31 says this. Are we up on the board? That's good. And the house of Israel called the name of that stuff manna. Okay? That's, fellas, that's supposed to be the King James Version. No. It's supposed to be the NLT. I'm right. I mean, you're right. That's what I told you. I'm going to get to that in my NLT Bible, because I like the way that it read. I thought it would help you. Please forgive me, fellas in the sound booth. I'm so sorry. Exodus 6 and 31 in my NLT says this. Let's see here. Exodus 16. Verse 31, and listen to this. I think it's interesting. And the Israelites, the Jewish people, they called that food manna. Now, manna means, what the heck is that? That's what it means. They were eating that stuff. I said, it tastes real good. What is it? And they called it manna. And it was white like coriander seed and tasted like honey wafers. Now, make no mistake. They took some and they took two big jars of it and they put it in the thing that held. It was for, it had an olive branch in there and stuff. To remember, but there is no more manna now. I mean, I'm sure there's something like it, but this was something God made. Now, whatever was there, they ate it for 40 years in the desert, and they got strong. They made it all the way through. It was good to eat. It was wonderful. They loved it. They didn't understand it, and there was something very important. Now, Moses instructed them, God through Moses, and said this, you take this much every day, that's it. Your daily bread. Don't, and he told them how much to, for each person. Okay, so there was a container. That part about how much was it, I don't know, it doesn't matter right now. That's not the point. The point is, and he said this, don't gather any more than that. There's no sense. Don't do that. You're supposed to get it every day from me. Every day. You're supposed to have a connection with me. I'm going to teach you how to be my children. Except for on the sixth day. On the sixth day, you get twice as much because you're not going to gather anything on the seventh day because it's a day of rest. And of course, they didn't listen. A lot of them didn't listen. They got it. And nobody will know. How many of you believe that God's supernatural? You understand it. God is supernatural. God does supernatural things. Well, the ones that did that, he's so supernatural. And I'll explain that part, but in just a second. I got this one little part I'm going to put in there first. Everybody that disobeyed God and got more than they were supposed to. Now, what would make somebody do that? I don't know if God's going to answer my prayer. I don't know if God's going to take care of me. Does that sound familiar? I'm not sure about God. From the front to the back, you listen. So, I'm going to do something in the natural to make sure. The next morning, that manna was on the ground. The stuff that they kept extra had maggots in it already, and it smelled really bad. Except for on the sixth day of the week, when they gathered a double portion, because they didn't gather on the seventh day. And supernaturally, that bread was okay if they got the double amount on Saturday. You know, I don't see any difference between the people of that day and the people of this day. And what happens, the word, when you work out your salvation, and you, one of the things that you work out is you begin to see, Nick, that you can trust God, that his promises are true. There's over 7,500 promises to mankind for you and your family. Amen. And when you find them and you begin to believe those promises and you begin to pray those promises, they come alive in your family. Just like this manna did at the beginning of time. Whew. And let's go to one more place. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, back in the King James. Forgive me, fellas, in the sound booth. I was wrong. You were right. Can you say you were wrong? I know people that can't say they're wrong. You know, that really messes you up when you come to God. And when you want to grow, if you can't say you're wrong. Fellas, maybe God made me wrong on purpose so I could just repent to you. Do you forgive me? Everyone forgave me. All right, last place, Matthew chapter 4. And this is, Jesus has just been baptized by John. And a dove lit on him. It was the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove and a voice from heaven. People heard it, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And when he got out of the water, the word says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus said, "No. The scripture says, or it is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now, if you put these Bible verses together that I've just gathered up tonight, man isn't at his best. He doesn't have everything that God's given him. Just by having a house to live in, something to eat, a healthy body. Man does not live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In order to be who you're supposed to be, you have got to eat the word of God. You've got to pray the word of God, and you've got to speak the word of God. And it's new every day. You don't want yesterday's word. God's got a word for you every day of your life. That's a word that you can live by. That's a word that you can thrive by. That's a word that you can be guided by. Because God, as he made us, and Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer, that where we started. He said, when you pray, say, "My Father, which is in heaven," which goes along with 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 that says, "Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that he should call us his children." And then the next verse, in verse 2, says, beloved, now are you the children of God. If there's anybody born again in this room, you're a child of God right now. And God has and desires that you live by his word and that you follow his word. And he wants to be involved in your life every day. He wants to love you. He wants to heal you from what the world has done to you. He wants to help you. Nobody understands me. My parents, nobody. I don't have any friends that understand. God understands you. God loves you. God has not crossed anybody out in this room, or anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. They'll become children of God. And Romans 8:28 will take place in your life. And you'll be spending, we should be spending our life every day discovering God's plan for our life every day as long as we're alive. That's what I have to share with you. I've lived this precept for many, many years. It's led me to where I am today. And I love him very much. And I'm convinced so much I can look you in the eye and say, this is the way it really is. You can't outgive God. If you've got God, if God is for you, Romans 8:31, who can be against you? I mean, if you'll stay on God's side, if you'll do what God tells you to do, this is how come we cannot afford the luxury of not forgiving people. That's a big problem in the church. We've got to get control of that. Now, in order to keep my promise to you, you know, I'm going to ask you to make an altar where you are, examine your heart, come to the altar, bow your head.